Praise the Lord. Okay, we've got our backup going. As I say, the thing about our study in radical relationship that is a little different here this month as we're looking in the letter of Paul to the Colossians is that we are studying from the Mirror Bible, okay? And so some of us are quite adept at moving from version to version. Some of us are pretty much ironclad, stuck on one or maybe two. And that's all right, I ain't mad at you. But I am telling you that I chose to do this study from the Mirror Bible because it's one of the ones that most emphasizes the centrality, the central nature of Jesus Christ to everything, A to Z. Sometimes you, you know, reading some versions, you don't quite get that in, you know, Nahum or Habakkuk, or even sometimes in the letters of Paul. But we are looking at this version so that we can focus in somewhat on those things. Now, it's going to read a bit different than yours, and so as I've advised you over the past couple of weeks, read this in your own time in several versions. Read Colossians in your own time in several versions, and that way you're going to get a little better idea of where we're coming from when we do this study in the Mirror Bible. Otherwise, it may sound a little strange to you, and you're trying to follow along. Don't try to follow along in King James. Don't even try to follow along in NIV or even the Message. Please don't try to follow along in the Amplified. So listen as we go through today once again in the Mirror translation. If indeed you are having some difficulty there or it's just a little too strange for you, here's what I advise you to do. Thankfully, good morning. There's my lovely Nina Smart Dixon is on the line. So what I advise you to do, as we have replays available here on Facebook Live, and those of you in particular on Facebook I'm talking to right now, is to go back and re-listen with your favorite version in hand as we go through. This is actually a class, a Bible study type of class, Transformation Hour is. And so we don't want to just sit and be passive for 45 minutes or an hour, and then I'll check them out again next week. There are 168 hours in every week, and I dare say that you've got a couple of more that you can spare to do some more study on your own, some in-depth study, if you will, on your own. But as Pastor Carol has told me here, I think maybe last week, she was saying that things were very, very clear when she just listens, because she was trying, I think, to kind of go along side by side with me with, you know, whatever version she was looking at there. And that's just difficult to do. So as I have noted, the Mirror Bible translation is a translation slash paraphrase of the Word of God. And it, the translator is a man named Francois Du Toit. It's from South Africa, actually. Francois has a way of doing interpretation and translation work that is just very powerful. And so I have found his focus on Jesus to be really just about unmatched in translation work. And there are a lot of translations, as you know, dozens and dozens of Bible translations out there. And as I said before, not upset with you for using whichever one works for you. If that's the King James, well, God bless you. That's the one I cut my teeth on for sure. However, This is, somebody told me this is 2020. So 400 years later, y'all, we talk a little different than they did when the King James was translated, and a whole lot of other things. Won't get into that. Anyway, chapter 3 this week is what we're looking at in the Mirror Translation. And I thought maybe, let me see. I've got another translation here handy down below. This is my other favorite, actually, which is the New American Standard version of the Bible. And although it is a modern translation, in many ways is going to resemble that one that I cut my teeth on. So looking at chapter 3, I just want to read a couple of verses first of all from the New American Standard, and then we're going to jump right in to the Mirror Translation. 3 verse 1, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This is a scripture that was drilled into us when we were coming up. Set your mind on things above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And, you know, one of those that was, along with a number of others, oftentimes kind of hammer it home to you. You ain't living right. You ain't thinking right. You ain't walking right. So here is what I'm telling you to do. Good morning, Sister LaWanda. Good morning, Sister Tina. Good to see you. Set your mind on things above. Get your mind right, Luke, was kind of the way that they came at us. But I want you to understand that getting your mind right, getting on the same page with God is not something that should be a matter of beating it into you or torture. But I want to explain to you, I want to suggest to you this morning that it's actually a privilege to be able to do that. Without that relationship, that radical relationship we're talking about this month, you're not going to be able to do that. You're thinking on your own, you're doing it yourself, you're doing it your own way, and I guarantee you, you're going to run into trouble there. And sometimes when we run into trouble from doing things our own way, we try what? Just to do it our own way some more. Maybe I can get myself out of the thing that I've got myself into. No, doesn't work that way. Not very well. But when we align ourselves with God, when we align ourselves with the mind of Christ, which for us believers we have, Scripture tells us we have the mind of Christ. Just like one motivational speaker I heard say, you know, everybody's got a mind. Very few people know how to use it. So we have, as believers, the mind of Christ. But are we using it? Are we aligning with it? Are our concerns, our affections, our focus aligned with the things of Christ and the mind of Christ? Or are we still eating from the do-it-yourself tree like our forefather and mother, Adam and Eve? The do-it-yourself tree is not a pathway to victory. It is not a pathway to the life that God intends for you. And so Paul comes to the Colossians here in chapter 3, and here we go in the Mirror Translation. "See yourselves co-raised with Christ." Can you picture that? See yourself co-raised with Christ. Now, ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion in him. Relocate yourselves mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities, where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Think about that. That's powerful, eh? We can get so bogged down, we can get so overwhelmed with the stuff going on around us. And here we are, if you haven't heard yet, in the midst of a pandemic. Here we are in the midst of economic uncertainty, racial and social upheaval. And it is very easy. Now, listen, not even to mention just the normal stuff, you know, like the rent. Okay? You still got, those of you who have children at home, you still got all of that to deal with on a daily basis. Some of them have gotten used to eating every day. I mean, you know, go figure. So you got all of that kind of thing on you at once. And it is very easy for your mind to be completely focused and absorbed with your immediate situation. I wouldn't dare take anything away from the difficulties that you may be encountering even now. That's real. But Paul admonishes us here that our mind needs to be focused elsewhere if we're going to enjoy all that God has intended for us. Good morning, Sister Renee. So he says, see yourselves this way. Listen, I tell people oftentimes, you maybe have heard it said that your soul consists of your mind, will, and emotions. Anybody ever heard that one? But I like to broaden that definition a little bit, because it's not just your mind, will, and emotions. There are a couple of other faculties involved there that are extremely important and not to be overlooked or ignored. I like to tell people that your soul realm is made up of not only your mind, will, and emotions, but also your memory and your imagination. Now, listen, I don't know if dogs imagine. I doubt it. But I know people do. I know we remember stuff that was yesterday and last week and last year and when I was 7. And sometimes we get stuck there. Likewise, we sometimes use the faculty of our imagination against ourselves as we're imagining what terrible things may await us tomorrow and how bad it's going to be. And so then that combined with our will and our emotions, we can get really crazy real fast. They're quiet here. Can I hear y'all out there? We can get real crazy real fast, caught up in our emotions, caught up in what happened before, caught up in what may happen tomorrow that we don't even know. Absolutely. Deacon Fred said, coulda, woulda, shoulda. We go over the thing over and over and over in our minds. Paul says, here's where you need to refocus. Set yourselves in this kind of a mindset. He says, see yourselves. See, that's that visionary part of you. That's that imagination that you need to use for you. Listen, I tell people oftentimes, I'm going to tell you again today, use your design the way it's intended. Work with your design, not against your design. Your imagination is a perfect case in point. Use your imagination the way Paul's suggesting here. See yourself co-raised with Christ, seated at the right hand of God. Fill your mind with throne room realities now, rather than using your imagination to imagine how bad it's going to be tomorrow, how everything's going to go wrong, how it's going to fall completely apart, how I'm going to get sicker, not better, how I'm going to get broker, not more abundant. Oh, I know y'all don't think like that, but some of your friends do, I assure you. Verse 2, becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly realm. Distraction is a terrible thing, y'all. And the enemy of your soul and mine majors in distraction. He wants to get you thinking about everything but the reality of you being co-raised with Christ, seated at the right hand of God in authority and power. He wants to keep you thinking low-level thoughts. Soul realm thoughts, with your emotions running wild, with your imagination working against you, with you remembering every bad thing that's ever happened to you. I won't even get into the fact that, I better leave that alone. Let me just quickly say, though, that the things in your life have meaning because you've given them meaning. Uh-oh, I'm out here. Good morning, Deacon Barry. I'm out here. The things that have happened in your life, even the bad things, Pastor Carol says, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Use it to think on God and his goodness, amen. She said, don't waste your mind with low-level thinking. Don't waste your mind thinking about stupid stuff. And to the point I was making a moment ago, nothing really has meaning except the meaning you give it. Now, that's a powerful thought. And if it's true, it means that we have a whole lot more responsibility than we sometimes are comfortable with. You say, no, Brother Mark, that can't be true. Stuff happens and it just means what it means. Really? Well, then how come two people can have exactly the same kind of situation happen to them? And one is 45 now and he's still stuck there at what happened when he was 12. And the other has gone on to be a successful millionaire with a happy family and active in the community. Same thing happened to him. The one chose to believe that this means my life is over. It's never going to get better. This is the end. And he's lived his life that way. A series of mishaps and misfortunes all the way to 45. Y'all know somebody like that. Probably your cousin or something. You're like, man, Bubba just never got over that thing. Let me keep moving. Yep, amen. Thank you. I appreciate you, Sister Tina, co-signing for me there. Verse number 3, your union with his death broke the association with that world, that soul-ruled world. See yourselves located in a fortress where your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm telling you, I'm calling again very strongly here, Paul is in this third chapter of Colossians, calling very strongly on you to use your faculties, your imagination to see the truth that you are sitting in Christ at the right hand of God. You need to see yourself this way because that's the truth about your radical relationship with God in Jesus. The enemy would love to tell you or fool you into thinking that you are out here unprotected. I'm gonna get you, sucker. I just come and go when I want, smack you around the head, tear up your life and your family and everything else. And if he can convince you that that's true, then yeah, there you are. Paul says, I want you to focus, I need you to focus on throne room realities. I need you to focus on the fact that you have been co-raised with Christ. When he died, you died. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. Paul tells the Romans in chapter 6. We were buried with him and we were raised with him to newness of life. For all of y'all who need a scripture reference there, say, is he just talking out the side of his head or not? Listen. It's the Bible, y'all. You died with him. You were raised with him. He died not just for you, but as you. He came as a man. See, he couldn't just show up as God. He is both God and man. Understand that. Let me be clear on my theology there. But understand that he had to be man to do what he did for you. To do what he did as you. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to me. Okay. Praise God. Let me calm down, y'all. Am I all right? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Chris. Say, I'm all right. Go ahead. All right. Verse number 4. The exact life on exhibit in Christ is now repeated in us. We're being co-revealed in the same bliss. We are joined in oneness with him. I'm talking about radical relationship, y'all. We are joined in oneness with Christ. Just as his life reveals you, your life now reveals him. Well, you're thinking about what you did last summer, and you're like, I don't know, that didn't really reveal Christ. And maybe it didn't. But I want you to understand the place that you're in. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live under the dictates of the flesh. You don't have to live the way that everybody else in the world is living now, because you are actually co-raised with Christ, seated in him at the right hand of God the Father. You have the opportunity now to reveal his life and allow him to reveal himself through you and as you. Listen, we are all unique. Ain't nobody quite like Deacon Fred. I ain't met nobody quite like him. One of a kind. I think they broke the mold after him. Sister Beth, totally different person. We all have our uniqueness. What I need you to understand is that as we are in relationship with Christ, His uniqueness as us is revealed to the world. Pastor Carol, Sister Tina, Sister Amanda, Sister Chris, Sister Renee, can't nobody beat you being you. And God wants to express Himself in a unique way in and through your life. That ought to be a little bit exciting to you. Lord have mercy. Let me move on. Glory to God. Yeah, I got some amens out there. They're hollering back at me. I appreciate y'all. Verse number 5. Consider the member. Now let me warn you. Let me look at this in the New American Standard so y'all have a reference and understand where I'm coming from here. Verse 5, New American Standard, chapter 3, Colossians, this is. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Doggone, Paul, you came hard right there all of a sudden, huh? Here's a 10-cent word for you, juxtaposition. He has set these first few verses up against what he's now telling you. He said, because you're seated with God, you're seated in Christ at the right hand of God, fill your mind with throne room realities, with the truth of who you now are in Christ, with the position you now hold in Christ, in that relationship, in that radical place of relationship with God. He said, and because you're filling your mind there, he said, therefore, all this other stuff, you need to put that to the curb. Listen, not only should you put it to the curb, but now for the first time in your life, because you are in Christ, because He is in you, you have the actual power to do so. Let me help somebody out there by telling you that the can't help it's no longer have a hold on you in Christ. You don't have to live that way. Listen, again, Paul in Romans tells us that now we have the power to live differently. It is the grace of God that allows us to do so. The grace that has been freely given. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We have received the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. More than enough to handle whatever your little habit is. More than enough to shift your thinking. More than enough to turn your life upside down. You have the power through Holy Spirit who is now in you. You have the power because of the grace of Jesus. You have the power, resurrection power, to think differently, to act differently. And listen, when you act differently and think differently, you'll get different results than you've been getting. Some of you say, why does this always happen to me? Well, back up a little bit. Why are you always thinking like that? Why are you always acting like that? That's why you always getting those results that you get. So, Mirror Bible Translation here, verse 5, Francois du Toit really makes this modern. And so he's bringing it home here to the world we live in. He says, consider the members of your body as dead and buried towards everything related to the porn industry. to sensual uncleanness, longing for forbidden things. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Oh, Jesus. Did you just go there, Francois? He said, longing for forbidden things. You know you ain't got no business with it. You know you ain't got no business doing it. I know I sound like that old Holy Ghost preacher from when I was six now, but it's still right anyhow. See, but I'm going to come at you a little differently. I'm not going to tell you, you're going to bust hell wide open. That's what they would tell us when we were coming up. They had us good and scared of everything. We're scared of everything. We're going to hell for everything. Anything. All your thoughts, anything. You're going to hell. That's why we got saved like every week. That's a whole nother subject. But he says, longing for forbidden things, lust and greed, which are just another form of idol worship. That's hardcore. Francois suggests here that idol worship is worshiping a distorted image of yourself. Man, I ain't got time, but I'm gonna take a little minute here to tell you that one of the greatest benefits of fully embracing this radical relationship with Christ that he has made possible for you now is that you get to see yourself as you really are in him. You get to see yourself for the first time in an authentic fashion. You get to see yourself as the person he called and designed and created, not the one necessarily that you've been acting out. I wish I could make it plain, but you get your mind so focused on who you think you are, maybe because of what you've been through or who you've been with or what have you, and you have a distorted image, and that distorted you may actually long for something. You have this thought of, if I could only be this, if I could only have that, if I could only be with this person, if I could only have this much money, if I could only live there. Yeah. Am I talking to somebody? I hope somebody's getting this now. And you begin to idolize that person that you've created. I didn't say that God created. I said that you created in your own mind. These distorted expressions, Paul says in verse 6, are in total contradiction to God's design and desire for your life. Why are you so frustrated? Because you are operating out of a persona. You're reading from a script that isn't you. You're an actor in a play that you've written. Not the person that God has called you to be. And so here you are, reaching for, grasping after those things that you think go with that person who isn't even really you. Man, I wish I could make this plain. I wish you could understand what I'm trying to get across to you. Sister Tina said, I'm stirring up stuff now. Okay, praise God. Let me read that again. I'm going back. I'm going to take my time here a little bit. We only got about 5 verses in chapter 4 next week to cover, so I'm going to take my time here a little bit. Absolutely, God knows who you are. God knows the you that you haven't discovered yet. It is exciting, Linda. It is exciting. When you go through that situation and you coming out the other side and he's showing you this is the real you. See, because the you thought was you couldn't have handled this. You wouldn't have even made it through. It would have took you out. But I showed up in you, as you. The you that I really called forth, the you I really created, the authentic you. See, you, Lord have mercy, I wish I could just make it plain. You've been reading from a script. And so Paul comes very firmly here in chapter 3, dealing with your mind, dealing with your soul realm, saying you need to refocus, you need to set your affection, set your focus on throne room realities. That's where you're living. And that's the only way. You say, Mark, I need this practical. I gotta pay my bills and I gotta take care. This is as practical as it gets. Because to be successful at those things, you need to take on the mind of Christ. You need to see these things as he sees them. Otherwise, you're running around screaming and hollering and ready to jump off a bridge somewhere every time you got a problem. You flip flam back and forth on your emotions because you don't know who you are. You don't know where you are. Paul says, getting caught up in all of that stuff. Seeing, whew, boy, okay, Holy Ghost. We may not get out of 3 today. Amen. Back to verse 5. Consider the members of your body as dead and buried towards everything in the porn industry, sensual uncleanness, longing for forbidden things, lust and greed, which are just forms of idolatry, he says. These distorted expressions, come on, these extorted expressions are in total contradiction to the design of God and the desire of God in your life. They are expressions of a you that isn't you. Man, I feel like I'm being unclear this morning, but I hope you're catching this. Or at the very least, that Holy Spirit will unveil to you what he's trying to say. Thank you, Sister Tina. I hope that you're getting this. He wants to reintroduce you to you. The radical relationship into which he has invited you is a relationship with the new you, the new creation in Christ Jesus. Not the you thought you were. Not the you, listen, some people will tell you that you are the sum total of your experiences. You ever heard that? I'm way more than that.
Amen. Amen.
I'm way more than that.
Amen.
I'm not limited to what happened to me.
Amen.
In fact, I am not what happened to me.
Amen.
That's freedom for somebody right there. You're not what happened to you.
Hallelujah.
You're bigger than that. You're way more than that. Hallelujah. Scream on, sis. Amen. She sounds screaming. You're so much more than you thought you were. You're so much more than what happened to you. You're so much more than the sickness. You're so much more than your bank account. You're so much more than the molestation. You're so much more. See, and you thought you were somebody else, and you might have even allowed yourself to be treated like that person because you thought that's who you were.
You're right. You're on the
Oh, but I come to tell you this morning, you're so much more. Hallelujah. You're so much more. Verse 7. We were all once swept along into a lifestyle of lust and greed, Paul says. Verse 8. But now. Somebody say, but now. Because you realize that you co-died and were co-raised together with Christ, you can flush your thoughts with truth. I love how he says that. My God, that's good. You can flush your thoughts with truth. All that stuff that's been driving you crazy, all those memories, all those worries, you can flush your thoughts with truth, with the truth of who you are in Christ, who you are in radical relationship with Jesus. There's so much more to you than you thought. Hallelujah. And you're invited to explore that new you in relationship with God. He's the one who knows you even better than you know yourself. He's the one who can reveal to you who you really are, what you're really capable of, what you're really called to do and to be. That should be exciting to somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 8. So realize that you co-died and were co-raised with Christ, and you can now flush your thoughts with truth. Permanently put these things behind you. Things such as violent outbursts of rage, depression, all manner of wickedness, slander, every form of irregular conversation. He said, put that behind you. That's not you. That old life was a lie, foreign to our design. Oh, my God. I'm thinking of childhood stories like the princess and the pea, and the story of the little pauper who was actually a prince. They didn't know who they really were. It took a situation, it took an encounter with somebody to help them understand who they really were. They've been traveling along this life thinking they somebody else, thinking they acting like some. The kid's actually a prince. He thinks he's a beggar, a pauper, until he is revealed. Here's the crazy part. Here's the wonderful part. He's revealed to himself. I hope you got that. Christ came to reveal you to yourself. Whoo, glory. Man, I'm going to get happy about myself, y'all. He came to reveal the real you, the true you, the abundant you, the one in radical relationship with God, that you. That old life was a lie, in verse 9, foreign to our design. Those garments of disguise are now thoroughly stripped off of us in our understanding of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. We are no longer obliged to live under the identity and rule of the robes we wore before. Neither are we cheating anyone through false pretensions. We don't have to fake it anymore, he says. We don't have to pretend that we're that person. Listen, you know, an actor can put on some clothes and he kind of takes on that persona. If I put on a crown and a big robe and hung a sword on my, waist here and told you I'm King Arthur, like, oh, okay. No, really, I'm King Arthur. Don't you see the clothes? Did you catch this crown? You see that sword? Excalibur, it says right here. I'm King Arthur. No, you're just a guy in a costume. That's not the real you. That's not who you really are. And you may really, really go all in. You know, we got some actors that make you believe it, right? Can I tell you that some of y'all are real good actors? Yeah, y'all almost have me believing that, man, that's really her. That's really him. Oh, my gosh. You got that roll down pat. They need to pay you. But it was all an act. You've taken on a persona. You put on the costume. Somebody said, this is who you are. You started reading from the script that God didn't write. You started acting out that person. And you did it so long, some of you said, well, you convinced yourself. This is who I am. But Paul says that was all a lie. That was all a lie. Foreign to your design. Those garments of disguise are now thoroughly stripped off. Verse 10. We stand fully identified in the new creation, renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image of our Creator. My God, today. I wish I could say it like I feel it. I wish I could say it like I feel it. You are meeting your real self now in Christ. Verse 11, the revelation of Christ in us. Remember that he talked about that in chapter 1, verse 27. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only way that you're going to manifest who you really are, the only way you're going to really manifest the glory of God is with Christ in you. Amen. You don't even know who you are otherwise. Not for real. Not for real. Amen? Amen. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The revelation of Christ in us gives identity to the individual beyond anything anyone could ever be, as a Greek, as a Jew, as an American, African, foreign or famous, male or female, king or pawn. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is represented in Christ. Let me read that from the New American Standard for a little comparison. Verse 11. He says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Let me read again from the Mirror Translation. The revelation of Christ in us gives identity to the individual beyond anything anyone could ever be, as a Greek or a Jew, American, African, foreign or famous, male or female, king or pawn. From now on, everyone is identified and defined by Christ. Everyone is represented in Christ. Now listen, y'all who can see me, whether you're on Facebook or whether you're here in the auditorium, y'all look at me and y'all say, he's a male. Okay. He looks to be African American, although I've been mistaken for Hispanic many times.
Okay.
tell you how other folks looking at you, right? You're like, what? I've even had people come up to me and start speaking Spanish. I'm like, bro, no comprende, man. I ain't that guy. Sorry. I look like him, but I ain't him. All right. Y'all say, oh, he's at least, what, 39, 40 maybe, huh? Try 60, y'all. Try 60. But Paul says none of those identifiers come close to the real you identified in Christ. The real you revealed in the radical relationship with Jesus that you've been called into. We used to sing a little song back in the day about getting saved, you know. Looked at my hands, and my hands looked new. Looked at my feet, and they did too. Well, okay, that's a cute song. But this hand still looked the same as it did before I got saved. I got a little scar here from a test tube burn when I had a chemistry set when I was about 10 or 12. It's still there. But listen, what you thought, how you identified, and I'm still a 60-year-old cisgender male, African-American, those are still identifiers that society sees me as. I get that. I understand that. But what I'm trying to get across to you and what Paul's trying to get across to you, see, he wouldn't even use these terms. He wouldn't even have talked about Greek and Jew and Scythian, barbarian, slave free, if there weren't those identifiers in the society. We get that. Yeah? But he says, I want you to understand you now in Christ, a you is revealed and identified and defined that is way beyond anything that you've known before, anything that man has put on you, anything that society has labeled you. My God, today, the limitations are off. You're not just white or black. You're not just male or female. You're not just American or Russian. You're not just that. And as I said before, you're certainly not just what happened to you or what you've been through. You're so much more. And this radical relationship is poised and primed to reveal that. First to you and to the rest of the world. Well, praise God, I'm running towards the end of my time here. We're down to verse 12. We're doing pretty good. Like I said, we only got a few verses to cover in chapter 4 on next week. And so I think we're going to be okay. Let me squeeze in one or two more verses. I'm going to let you guys go. I really appreciate you for hanging out with me today. Thank you so much. Verse number 12, you are the product of God's love. He restored you to his original thought. You belong to him exclusively. It's like changing garments. Now that you've gotten rid of the old, clothe yourselves with inner compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Just like you were once identified with that old apparel that you were wearing, like we said a while ago, now identify with the new you. Identify with the new robe of righteousness that he's put on you. Like the prodigal come home. People have seen the prodigal in the pig pen, they would have thought he was somebody else. Right? People that saw you in your stuff thought you were somebody else. You might have convinced yourself that you were somebody else, but like the prodigal, came to his senses one day. And when he came home, see, he had worked himself up in his own mind from that slave in the pig pen to a servant. Somebody know where I'm going. But when he got home, the Father revealed Because the Father had the authority to do so. The Father was there from the beginning. Boy, when you was just a gleam in your mama's eye, I knew you. The Father revealed who he really was. He said, get them nasty clothes off of him. Put a robe on him. That robe of righteousness. That robe of right standing with God. He said, put some shoes on his feet. He got places to go, people to meet, things to do. And he said, put the ring on his finger. That one with the family crest on it. That one that says, oh, that's who I am. That's my daddy right there. Restored relationship. Restored to authenticity. Restored to who he really is. This is what happens to us and what we have available to us in Christ. Radical relationship that reveals you to you. And opens up the possibilities for so much more. So much more. We're going to stop right there today. And we'll take up here verse 12 or 13 or so. We'll finish next week, Lord say the same, with chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians as we explore this radical relationship. Listen, it's radical because it's absolutely transformative. It is the absolute only relationship that can reveal the authentic you and empower that authentic you to live out the life you were intended to live. Only relationship with God through Jesus makes that possible for you. And so I pray that you have been blessed today. I pray that you would this week delve deeper into exploring that radical relationship that you have. You got benefits. My friend Felix Anderson says, I got benefits. I lack nothing. God's got me. Amen. Amen. We will see you all next week. God bless you.